And so I'm here to tell you today that if you are going to find God, that you've got to put out some energy. You got to be disciplined in your spirit. You got to be disciplined in your heart. And you got to get out. You got to start moving. You got to start searching. You got to start looking if you are going to find God.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. I'm Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the first half of A Search for God. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the first half of A Search for God.
Last week, we began a series on In Pursuit of Intimacy with God. And our desire is that everyone sitting here, every member of our church would be in pursuit of intimacy with God. Because when we attain a level of intimacy with Him, then we're able to function at a high spiritual level. But if we have no intimacy with God, the revival fires burn low. That we are not all that we could be for the Lord. So I'm hoping that over the next several weeks that we would be challenged and that we would desire to have a intimate relationship with the Lord. Last week, we began this series by talking about thirsting for God. That if you are going to have intimacy with God, that first of all, you have to have a thirst for God. And we explained all of what it means to thirst for God. Now, once you get this thirst for God in your life, then you should go on a journey. And this journey that you go on is found in Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning in verse 11, when you start this search for God, Jeremiah says or records these words in verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart, and I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all the nations and from the places to which I have driven you, saith the Lord, and I will bring you again into the place from which I caused you to be carried away captive. A search for God. A search for God. I heard the story about a man who was looking for a particular car. He lived in New York, and he searched the internet, he searched the newspapers, high and low, to try to find this specific car that he was looking for. Eventually, he found the car after many weeks and even months of searching, and he found that the guy who owned the car lived in California. So he called him up, and they began to talk on the phone about the car, and he asked him all kind of questions, what kind of engine did it have? You know, what kind of tires did it have on it? What was this and what was that? And they spoke at length about this car, and the man was sure that that was the car that he wanted. And so he got in his car and rented a trailer and hooked it up to the back of his car because he was going to pull the car that he wanted back across the country. He got to California, looked at the car, and come to find out that they had talked about everything. And the car was a two-door car, and he wanted a four-door car. He had searched high and low. He had spent hours in his search. He had exhausted his resources. He had spent thousands of dollars looking for something in particular, only to get there and find out it wasn't what he wanted. Jeremiah is telling us today that if we will begin a search, that at the end of this search, We will not be like the man in that story. We will not be disappointed because we thought we were getting one thing and we got something else. That if we will begin a search for God, we will find exactly what we're looking for. He says in the Word, he says, "And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." What a powerful promise. What a precious promise that God makes to his children Israel. And I believe that one of the residual effects of this promise to Israel is the same promise to us, that if we will search for God with all our hearts, that we will find him. You know, there was, back in the 70s, and I'm sure that it's continued on today, people would have bumper stickers or they would wear shirts, "I have found God." Like God was lost and they found him. Well, you know, when we find God, I'm not talking about that kind of finding God. When I talk about finding God, I'm talking about finding him in an intimate and a personal way. That he's the type of God that you can have a relationship with. As the songwriter said, he walks with me and he talks with me along life's narrow way. And that God is intimate with me, and that we fellowship, and the joy that we share, the joy that we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. When was the last time that you were intimate with God? When was the last time that you were in deep personal fellowship and relationship with him? Oh, I'm praying after the message today that you might have a thirst for God that would lead you on a search for God. As we look at the background of this passage, I always like to give a little bit of background, because somebody said a text without a context is just a pretext. So we want to give you some background to the passage today. In the 29th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, we see that there was a prophet by the name of Hanani. And Hanani was making a prophecy. And we see that God's people are in Babylonian captivity. And so Hananiah makes a prophecy. He's in Jerusalem, and he realizes that these saints who are taken captive, that they don't want to be in captivity too long. And so Hananiah prophesies, and he says to the people, "You're only going to be in captivity for 2 years." However, God burst their bubble. God moved in the heart of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah told the people that Hananiah was speaking falsely and that Hananiah was making a false prophecy. And the fact of the matter is that they were not going to be in captivity for 2 years, but they were going to be there for 70 years. And so God said, "Settle down, plant vineyards, get married, do your thing, because you're not going anywhere for 70 years. And in the midst of that bad news, in the midst of that doom and gloom message, God gives them a ray of hope. In the midst of what some might seem to be an endless message of torment and torture, God says to them in verse 11, he says, "I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your hearts." The first thing I want to talk about this morning is the regulation of the search. The regulation of the search. When I say regulation of the search, what do I mean? I mean that there are certain things that need to be in place in order for us to seek God. It must be, our search must be regulated by three things. And those three things that I'll share with you today come out of an experience that I had. And the experience that I had is this past Christmas, I decided that I was going to, instead of buying individual gifts for my grandchildren, I decided that I would just buy them all one gift. And the one gift that I bought them was one of these Wii game systems. Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't know anything about Xbox. I don't know anything about Wii, me, or you, or anybody else. I had absolutely no idea about a Wii. I just heard them talking about it, and I said, well, you know, since they're always over here, you know, we'll have a we so that when they come over, you know, there'll be something for them to play when they came over. And so I began my search. And I went to about three or four stores. Now, again, keep in mind, this is a guy that knows absolutely nothing about a Wii. And I began to go to store after store and look at these Wiis and get the price. And I began to talk to the clerks and find out what they did and what kind of games were compatible with them. And I went to the next store and asked the same questions. I began to look at how much did it cost here and how much did it cost there. And I began to just do an extensive search for this Wii. And at the end of my search, I was able to purchase a Wii. And I must say that at the beginning of the search, I went from being an individual who was ignorant about what a Wii was to being a consumer expert, just in a matter of about 5 or 6 hours. And as I went on this search and I found what I was looking for, God began to speak to my heart through this message and say, okay, what was it that you had to do? Watch this now. What was it that you had to do in order to find the Wii that you wanted to purchase for Christmas? And I began to reflect on that thing, and I said, well, if we do that in our search for God, then we will be led to find him like he's telling the Israelites in this passage right here. And so there were three things that I came up with as I looked for this Wii. And I'm saying that if we're going to search for God, there are three things that have to regulate our search. And the first one is focus. The first one is focus. See, I couldn't go looking for a Wii and get sidetracked on looking for other things. That when I was looking for the Wii, I was focused. I mean, I was intent. I walked past the televisions. I walked past the clothes. I walked past the sporting goods. I walked past all these other things because I was just looking for one thing. And if we're going to search for God, we got to be focused. We got to learn how to set aside all these other things in these big stores that I went to with all the Christmas trappings and all the Christmas decorations. It was easy to start looking around and get overwhelmed with everything else that was all around me, but I knew what I was doing. I knew what I was looking for, and I had to stay focused. And if we are going to find God, there must be focus. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Are you focused on God this morning? Is he the focus of your attention? Is he the object of your desire? Luke chapter 10, beautiful picture of two ladies who were special friends of Jesus Christ. And it says here in verse 38, now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about with much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Mary was focused. Martha was busy. Oh, she was doing good things. She was doing things that were necessary, but she wasn't doing the best thing. Because at that time, what was the best thing? The best thing was to sit at the feet of Jesus and focus on his words. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that she listened intently to what he had to say. And my brothers and sisters, you are not going to find God if you don't focus on him, if you don't sit at his feet, if you don't look in his face, if you don't sit in his word, if you don't meditate within yourself, you are not going to find God. That you can search for him all you want, but you're not going to find him unless there's some focus in your life. The problem is that we let Satan distract us. Somebody used this acronym, BUSY, B-U-S-Y. Being under Satan's yoke. Being under Satan's yoke. That we trade the great for something that's good. We trade ministry for being in the presence of God. We get hyped up about serving and doing, but we don't take time to stop and be. We are like Little Red Riding Hood. She was on her way to Grandma's house. She was doing a good thing. She was doing a great thing. Grandma was sick. Mom had provided some goodies and soup and things to help Grandma get better. And Little Red Riding Hood was on her way to Grandma's house. And along the way, she ran into the mean wolf. And the mean wolf said, "Where are you going?" And she said, "I'm going to Grandma's house." And the wolf said, "Well, look, here goes some beautiful flowers. Why don't you stop and pick some flowers?" And so Little Red Riding Hood stops and picks the flowers. And the wolf goes to Grandma's house. Now, it all depends which version of Little Red Riding Hood you read. Because one version, he ate her. He ate Grandma. In the other version, he just locked Grandma in the closet. So since we want to be politically correct, we'll say that he locked Grandma in the closet. But what happened to Little Red? She got distracted. She got distracted on her way to Grandma's house. She took her eyes off of the vision. She took her eyes off of what she was supposed to be about. And if we are going to find God, there has to be focus. We have to set it in our mind, we have to set it in our heart, and we have to set it in our attention that we are focusing on God. The next thing we see is there has to be some energy, that you have to put out some energy. As a matter of fact, Jeremiah said that if you want to find God, that you need to search for him with all your heart. You know what that means? That means putting out energy. When I was looking for that weed, I was burning gas. I was dealing with knucklehead folks in the Christmas store shopping. You know, it was wearing on my patience. I'm sure it was wearing on theirs. If you ever want to lose your religion, just drive in the mall parking lot at Christmas. You'll lose your religion real quick. But there was a lot of energy that was expended in looking for this gift. And by the end of it, I must admit that I was kind of exhausted. You know, I was ready to come home and crash. Because of what had been put out to find what I was looking for. And so I'm here to tell you today that if you're going to find God, that you've got to put out some energy. You got to be disciplined in your spirit. You got to be disciplined in your heart. And you got to get out. You got to start moving. You got to start searching. You got to start looking if you are going to find God. If you are slothful, or if you are slackered, you are not going to find God. God, as a matter of fact, God is saying in Jeremiah, when he says, if you want to find me, you got to search for me with your whole heart. God is saying in the book of Jeremiah, sluggards and slackers need not apply. If you're not willing to put out any energy, that means that it may take getting up a little early in the morning. It may mean disciplining yourself during your lunch period on the job. It may mean sacrificing one of your favorite television programs, but it's going to take some effort and it's going to take some energy on your part if you are going to find God. You are not going to just wander and haphazardly run into God. Now, God might run into you for the wrong reason, but you are not going to just by accident find God. That if you're going to find him, you've got to, first of all, focus, and then secondly, you've got to put out energy. And then third, you've got to desire to find him. There has to be a passion in your heart. There has to be a fire in your soul where you are going out and nothing is going to deter you from finding God. I had a particular gift in my mind. And the thing that I had in my mind, you know, I went other places and the guy said, "Well, what about this? What about that?" "No, that's not what I want." After I found out, after I asked these questions to find out what I want, "No, I don't want that. I don't want that. This is what I want right here." They tried to sell me the new one that was out for $300 or $400 more. I said, "No, we get by with the old one. That's good." That's very good. Very good. So I knew what I wanted. And so I kept looking and I kept pushing until I found what I wanted. There's a very interesting story in Mark chapter 2. In Mark chapter 2, we read about a group of men who had something on their mind. They had something on their heart. There was a desire that they had, and they weren't going to stop until they accomplished what it was they were trying to accomplish. In Mark chapter 2, it's talking about Jesus preaching and healing folks that were sick. And it verse 3 talks about a man who was sick of the palsy, and he was carried by four of his friends. And verse 4 says, and when they could not come near unto him for the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed in which the sick of palsy lay. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of palsy, son, thy sins are forgiven thee. Look at the desire of these men. That they could have very easily, they could have very easily came up and said, oh man, look, these folk beat us. You know, they're already here. You know, it's like that man, John chapter 8 or 9, where he was trying to get down into the pool, or maybe John chapter 5, one of them Johns over there. He was trying to get down into the pool, and every time he would get ready to go down, somebody would beat him into the pool. And so he just stopped trying. These guys could have stopped. They could have stopped their search for their friend getting healed. But look what they did. They climbed up on the roof. They tore the tiles off the roof. Look at the desire. Look at the energy. Look at the focus. And they let their friend down. And Jesus saw the man coming down out of the sky. If you're going to search for God, you got to have desire. And you can't let any little thing distract you. Oh, I broke my fingernail. I can't search for God. You know, we let things hinder us. We let things stop us from searching for God. But you can't let the crowd, you know, that's the problem. Back in the day, the crowd was trying to keep these guys from coming. And today, the crowd tries to keep you from coming. And they put in all kind of roadblocks and all kind of obstacles to try to deter you from what it is that God would have you to do. But you've got to have desire. I like Psalm 27 in verse 8. In Psalm 27 in verse 8, it says, David says, when thou said, seek my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. That when David said, when God told me, seek me, pursue me, follow after me, David said, I'm resolved in my heart, I'm resolved in my mind, I'm resolved in my spirit that I'm going to seek the face of God and nothing is going to stop me. Let me ask you, my friends, my brothers and sisters, are you seeking the face of God? Right now, are you seeking the presence of the Lord? Just you know where you're at on this journey. And as the pastor, you know, my heart is that every member of this church would be in the process and in the mode of seeking God. Where are you? Are you not even in the ball game? Are you not even trying to look for God? Have you just resolved yourself that you can't find him, and maybe there's some kind of sin in your life, maybe there's some kind of issue that you're dealing with, and it's just blocking you from seeking after the Lord? You need to deal with that. You need to resolve it so you can continue on this journey.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the conclusion of A Search for God. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, A Search for God, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request A Search for God. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request A Search for God. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.